Welcome back to Kicking It with Danny and Donnie. It's been a while. It's been 20 days, but busy schedules, finals, work, a lot's going on. But Danny, I say this every year, and you know, now for the second year on our podcast, the NBA playoffs are probably the most fun time of the year. Everything's culminating together. Baseball's getting into a good stretch. Basketball playoffs are happening. Right now, the NHL's got stuff going on. Not that we're watching that, but the sports world in general, I know you're cracking a laugh right now. The sports world in general, I think, is the best when the NBA playoffs are happening. And we just set off the air. We've got to preface it with this. All of the game ones that just happened were fantastic.
Man, I got to say something like before we even get into it, because there was a comment made on a sporting event yesterday that, you know what, I just flat out disagreed with. And I understand because they're a bit ignorant to other sports. So I get it. I was watching good old Phil Mickelson, 50 years old, winning the PGA Championship, oldest major winner, unbelievable, 16 years since he last won the PGA. I was watching. I don't know, Donnie, if you were watching, but the crowd was incredible. They're chasing him down the fairway of the 18th, like Tiger at the Masters. It was beautiful to watch. But the commentator said something as Phil was about to finish, and they go, I don't know what other sports are on today, but nothing compares to this. And I was like, you know, I'm watching this right now because there's a break in the NBA playoff action. But to any NBA fan, God bless golf and the PGA Championship. But unless it's Tiger at the Masters in the final round, nothing compares to the NBA playoffs. And the first round matchups, like you said, absolutely unbelievable. I mean, from start to finish, like, every game was competitive. Every game was quality. Every game, the stars shined relatively bright, right? In every game, there were some stars that didn't show up, and I'm sure we will get into that. But man, what a round. I mean, the first rounds look like they're all second rounds. Like, this is the intensity you'd see in a second round matchup, right? A four versus a one, a two versus a five, or a four, depending on the upset. But we're seeing what makes me happy as a sports fan, as an NBA fan. We've been talking about it all year and how there have been some teams that have disappointed, some teams that might not have made the playoffs. These last 2 days have showed the right teams made the playoffs. The right teams won the play-ins. The right teams deserve to be there. And so I'm happy to see it. And if the first round's this good, I mean, imagine how many pods we're going to be releasing through the second round, through the finals, conference finals. I mean, it's going to be incredible. More podcasts to come, people. Like Donnie said, we're sorry about the inconsistency the last few weeks, but life happens. You guys know how it goes, but hopefully these episodes can be a good break to the monotony of your schedules, and we can bring you a little entertainment here in the next month, 2 months of NBA playoffs.
You just cranked that up and absolutely let it roll, and Danny, it could not have gone smoother. I will say, too, on the contrary, I do think Phil Mickelson winning a major at 50 – that's pretty fantastic. I wouldn't even say that it's, you know, I know that you said, of course, Tiger at the Masters. That's, yeah, that's number one. But Phil at 50 years old, man, I mean, I don't want to say it's as impressive as what Tom Brady just did, but golf is an individual sport. Even though it's not as physically demanding, maybe as football to the eye, never know when you break it down. We can talk about that another time. The first round is underway, and again, we're sorry for getting to it maybe a day late, but we've got our picks. We've got our first round laid out. I've got it in front of me right now. Let's start in the West, and recency, the game that just concluded most recent last night, Utah and Memphis. Memphis taking game one, the 8 seed over the 1 seed. I've got Utah in 7. And I made these picks before these games happened. I really, though, I mean, Memphis kind of just validated what I had thought, being that I love Ja Morant. And I've even said, probably on this podcast or maybe just in general conversation, if I could pick a point guard under 25 to run my team that's not named Luka Doncic, it'd probably be Ja Morant. So seeing him do that last night, seeing Jaren Jackson Jr. back, Dylan Brooks, 31 points, fantastic game. And for Utah, you know, it's sad because they had such a fantastic year. They've, you know, had obviously the best record in the NBA, Donovan Mitchell, late scratch, and now you're already down 1-0. And we know what happened last year. We know the heartbreak they had against Denver. Where do you go from here?
I mean, for me, and yeah, like Don, you said, you know, these are pre-first game of the first round picks. We didn't make our picks, you know, at the last minute this morning. No, we've talked about this before, so these have been set in place. But no, in terms of Utah, I mean, my pick was based on Donovan Mitchell being healthy. My pick was based on Donovan Mitchell playing, because we know that Utah, if they don't have every piece of the puzzle, it's not going to work for them. I mean, it worked for them all year because they had that big man in the middle wreaking havoc, getting rebounds, you know, affecting the game, slowing the game down. And you had that guy on the outside who could absolutely boogie on anybody. I've been one of those guys with Donovan Mitchell who has not really seen this ceiling that so many of my NBA peers have seen. I don't know what it is. I just see him and I'm like, I like the game, but it just, for something about it, there's something about it when I watch him, all the roads don't come together, all the lines split across. I don't know. I just see something. I'm like, it's not as smooth as I would like it to be, like a Lillard, like something like that. But anyway, it was based on him being healthy. And when he went out, you knew that Memphis team, after watching what they did to Golden State, that they were capable of winning any game. I mean, we need to put a little bit more respect on Jonas Valanciunas' name right now. I mean, he doesn't get talked about enough. I mean, the game he had against San Antonio, he was like 25-25. Like, you got to appreciate that. He's the big man in the middle, and Ja's a beast. I mean, Ja's a dog. You knew he can win that game. But my pick was Utah in six, and I'm not wavering away from that. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was a late scratch. Memphis is capable of winning every game. They were high coming off the Golden State game. I expect game two to look very, very different. I expect it to be much more slowed down to Utah's pace. And I think Utah's going to drown them. I just think this is kind of like, you know, for my MMA fans out there, Habib against McGregor. Like, you know, you're going to have the first start of the fast, you know, electric, quick team. But eventually he's going to get a hold of you. They're going to get you down and they're going to hold you there. And that's what I think Utah's going to do. That's why they have the best record. Like you said, I've got Utah in six.
LA Dallas. Really, honestly, I could go either way. My head tells me, my gut tells me it is Clippers in five. I have Clippers in six. I know that, of course, Dallas took game one, but I don't really see them sustaining that kind of firepower. I wish they would just get rid of Kristaps. Let me just say. I mean, I really like him, I guess, you know, as a guy. You can't really not like a guy as a guy, if that makes sense. But, you know, he's solid, but he's just not there, Danny. He's not there. And the poor guy, you know, started his career hated in New York. And then once he got really good and was relevant, got injured, got traded. And since then, it's just been so hard for him to get any footing, or, you know, get any real momentum, especially with Dallas, now that they're relevant as a playoff team. With that being said, Clippers in six, PG and Kawhi hopefully can right their wrongs from last year, because that last year really was, it still reigns in the front of my mind when we did that emergency pod and lost to Denver. But I would say Clippers in six, and I'm going to go ahead and do the next series too, because I want to have the last series of this Western Conference, you know, in one conversation. This is my upset pick. I've got Portland over Denver in seven, and I know it's the 3-6. Portland did take game one. I mean, I really do think Jamal Murray not being there is really going to hurt down the stretch, even though MPJ has been great, Gary Harris, Will Barton, those kind of guys. But those are my two, Clippers in six, Portland in seven. Anxious to hear what you say.
Yeah, so I mean, I like both of those picks. I can't say one word wrong to those picks. I actually have Clippers in six as well, but I'll be honest with you, Donnie. After watching game one, I'm scared for the Clippers. I mean, I've been the guy on this podcast saying I'm most scared of the Clippers from a Lakers supporter and more LeBron supporter. Everybody knows I'm a Warriors fan, but a LeBron supporter point of view, the Clippers are who I'm most scared of. That has absolutely changed after what I watched happened in their first game against Dallas, because it's not even that Dallas played amazing. And that's why I'm like, oh, Dallas, they can't sustain. And I understand where you're coming from, but I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, Luka had 31, 11, and 10. Like, that's normal. That's not going to stop. Luka's not going to all of a sudden next game, he might one game this series have 25, 8, and 7. And you're going to say that was an off day for Luka. And it has been his whole playoff career so far, and it has been his whole NBA career. And Luka did what he does. But when you go through the Clippers box score, like, Kawhi shot 40%. Not unbelievable for him. I mean, we're used to him being Mr. Efficient, but he shot 40%. Paul George shot 40%, played decent. I mean, Rondo shot 50%. Zubac 4-for-5. Beverly 4-for-6. Like, it's not like guys were missing shots. It's not like guys were playing bad. That's where I'm thinking, wait a minute. Are they expecting Rondo to be playoff Rondo in the first round? Like, are they expecting Rajon Rondo to have 20 off the bench? That's not going to happen. Are they expecting Morris to average 18? That's not going to happen. Are they expecting Beverly? Oh, God. Patrick Beverly to give you quality points? So if not, if Kawhi doesn't start averaging 30 and Paul George doesn't average 28 for the rest, and I'm Donnie, I'm being serious, the rest of the playoffs, they're going to lose to Dallas. I mean, they have to put up points because, like you said, although Kristaps is, right, he is what he is, they can fill it up. Dallas can fill it up. And Luka, you saw what he said to Beverly when he drove in on him? That was a bit of an intense rock-a-bye baby, right? Like, that was taking Westbrook's thing to the next level. I don't think they have what – Kawhi's going to step up and stop Luka, or they're going to lose this series. But I predict that it's going to be a Kawhi and Paul George show. They're going to be on Luka for the rest of the series, every minute of every game, trying to tire him out, and they're going to win in six. So I'm with you there. However, in the next series, I said real quick,
please. What do you do here? Just imagine this. 2 years ago, when this team was formed with the, you know, for the Clippers, with Paul George, Kawhi, all the picks gone, if they somehow manage to lose this series, Paul George and Kawhi are gone. Kawhi can opt out and be a free agent. Paul George probably can request another trade. You literally could have one of the most, this is going to go down probably as one of the most talented teams to not get to a Western Conference Finals if they don't do it this year. And this is going to be literally the worst case scenario for any Clippers fan, any Clippers player. Their future for the next 6 years is gone. You've gambled on these two guys. And if they can't get you to a Western Conference Finals at minimum, they're gone. And literally the West is wide open again. I just wanted to say that.
No, you're right. And we got to remember also, this series was 2-2 last year. Like, Luka was boogieing on them four games, and they had, I mean, I don't know if Lou Will was in the lemon pepper suspension at this point, but they had Harrell. They had guys that could bang in the middle. Like, that's what they had. And they replaced that with Rondo and guys like that. So if you've just got Zubac in the middle, like, you're not rebounding the same way they were in the last series, because you remember how much that dominated Dallas. Dallas just doesn't rebound outside of Luka. Porzingis doesn't rebound. So it's a matter of, can Zubac play big? Because if Zubac plays like typical Zubac does, like, I think Dallas can win the series, but I'm not hopping off LA that yet. They lose game two, it's over. I mean, they have to win game two. I truly believe that. You cannot go and go to Dallas like that. You can't. But anyway, moving on to the next series, I completely agree with every sentiment that you said. Truly, Jamal Murray not being in there makes Denver a different team. Like, if Denver had Jamal Murray healthy, everybody was healthy, you know, it would be hard not to pick Denver to make the finals. It really would. I mean, they've got everything, in my opinion. But Jamal being out makes them a little bit one-dimensional. Jokic is going to get his, but it's not the hardest thing to contain when he doesn't have so many guys to go inside out to. And unless my guy MPJ starts booking it, which he's been playing well, he's been putting up points, it might not be enough. But I'm not really ready to go off my pick. I mean, Jokic is my MVP. I'm not going to pick against them yet because I've been fooled and the world has been fooled by a Portland game one just last offseason. So I am not falling for this quite yet. We know what Denver looks like at the beginning of a series. They warm up. Portland dies down. I suspect that's exactly what's going to happen. But all this, you know, conviction, I still have Denver in seven. I still think it comes down to a game seven, just like you. And I think Denver gets it done, because they're going to be at home. I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to that. But, like, I mean, I can understand how you say Portland in seven. Dame in a game seven on the road, that's hard to pick against, as weird as that sounds. It's hard to pick against him, but I've got Denver in seven.
Lastly, in the West, this really honestly took a lot of guts. I have Phoenix in seven because I am a firm believer in that you cannot just turn it on when the playoffs come around. But I will say, of course, that I have been the guy to say the one team that I think can do it, well, not even really team, specifically those two guys, LeBron and AD, you can't do that. I mean, there's no way that they're just going to walk in here with what Phoenix has done all year. Phoenix is probably punching the air when LA wins that play-in game against Golden State. Like, are you kidding me? Do all of this, get CP3, reclaim some, you know, relevancy in the West, and then we have to face the defending champs in round one. Are you kidding me? So that stinks. But in game one, we saw Chris Paul take some, you know, take some control down the stretch. We saw Devin Booker finally get a chance to show what he can do in the playoffs. I think those two guys alone, and if Phoenix somehow steals game two, I think it's similar to what you said, LA and Dallas in the other series. If it's 2-0 headed back to LA, it's over. Phoenix can easily steal a game on the road. And at that point, you're looking at a 3-1 potentially, and I'm getting ahead of myself. But I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people want to pick LA and probably will pick LA, but I'll take the bullet. I'll bite the bullet and say Phoenix is going to win this series. I might sound crazy. I might regret this. That is my pick. Suns in seven.
And to be honest, I watched game one. I mean, I watched game one just like every Phoenix fan, like every LA fan, like every other fan in the league, absolutely cheering at their screen for LA to lose. And that's where they're at right now, right? Like, that's where they're at. They're the Patriots right now. Only the fans of their team want them to win. Every other fan of every other team wants them to lose. And when I watch game one, I was reminded of something that I've been saying for a really, 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 really long time. And that is, that team was fine before Chris Paul. They will be fine after Chris Paul with those guys, because Chris Paul missed plenty of minutes. Chris Paul did not play his best whatsoever yesterday. And what happened? They won the game because Devin Booker is next up. That's just the truth. Devin Booker's next up. You got Bridges running around the court playing defense like he's probably going to get picked up for the Lakers. He's playing that good of defense that the Lakers are going to want to pick him up in the offseason, but Phoenix is not letting him go. They got the two Cams who can drop threes from anywhere. They've got Devin Booker, as I mentioned, playing great. And DeAndre Ayton, man, that guy is surprising me a lot. I've talked down on his name a little bit more because I thought he was very straightforward, one-dimensional, linear player. He played great yesterday. He hung with AD. He moved around. He stayed in the inside. But this game came down to the fact that the LA teams just start so slow. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And Donnie, I'm telling you right now, I will not argue your pick. I will not say a word about this if AD and KCP play like this. If Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Anthony Davis play like this for two more games in the series, one more game in the series, it's over. I mean, what am I going to say? Because LeBron has 18 points. It's not enough. We all know that. But this is what he does. We've seen this how many series in a row. It won them a championship last year, him trying to get guys involved. But when you look down the roster and LeBron has the most three-pointers on that team, it's a problem. When you look and you see Anthony Davis is shooting 30%, that's a problem. When you see Wesley Matthews 0-for-3, that's a problem. KCP 1-for-9, that's a problem. Like, that's a problem. LeBron and Caruso can't win a series. I like Alex Caruso, AC Fresh, my guy. But LeBron can't do it by himself. Not against this Phoenix team. If he was playing Utah with no Donovan Mitchell, I think they're fine. If he was playing against this Clippers team the way they played in game one, I think they're fine. But this Phoenix team is quick. They defend. I mean, if the Lakers held them under 100 points. I mean, we saw games this year Phoenix score 150 points. They held them under 100 and lost. Like, the offense is the problem. It's not the defense. The Lakers have the best defense in the game. It's just a matter of guys got to make shots. I think they'll come back in game two. AD is going to come back fired up. I think they win game two. And I have LA in seven. And I do think it takes seven games because I think Chris Paul is going to be wishy-washy the first three or four games. And Chris Paul, God bless, he stays healthy, because I was worried about my prediction being right when he started to get injured in the game one. And I don't want to see that. I was just simply pointing out what I'd seen in years past. But game five, game six, game seven, when we're looking at LeBron and AD, the bigger guys, versus CP3 and Booker, the smaller guys, and we're not going to have to see them go one-on-one. It's going to be a matter of, Donnie, in game five, six, and seven, is LeBron going to guard Devin Booker? Is he going to guard CP3? Because remember, I've been saying LeBron's got to get on CP3 and just stop the ball from moving, for spurts at least. I think that's what it's going to take. I think he's going to do what it takes, and I think this is going to be their hardest year. I think it's, if they get out of this year, I mean, obviously if they don't win the series, they're out, but if they can scrape through this series, I think in seven games, and LA has to fight, Denver or Portland has to fight, Utah maybe loses or has to fight, LA can walk their way to another finals. This is the series. This is the series, in my opinion. I can't see the Clips doing anything in a conference finals. It's just, we got to believe it to see it after what we saw last year. I think this is the series, man. I think this is going to be the best first round series in the history of the NBA. It is. I really do. I think it's up to that. But before we get into these, I mean, how good are the crowds? How good is it to see the crowd?
I'm glad you mentioned that. That was going to be my transition. I mean, seeing MSG last night was crazy. Seeing Milwaukee was crazy. Every arena. Utah always looks great in the playoffs. What do you think is the best looking crowd? I know that might be a weird question. Which crowd looks the best when it's packed in the playoffs? Interested to hear your take.
To be honest, I don't think anything compares to Staples. Truthfully, Staples on a Laker game, when you see the stars are there, right? Like, that's one of my favorites. To be honest, they're not in the playoffs, but Toronto, I mean, seeing Drake first round, those fans go nuts, but obviously they're not in this year's playoffs. But there's only one answer, Donnie. There's nothing better than seeing playoffs in the Garden. There's nothing. That crowd going nuts yesterday was amazing. Man, when they came down and quickly hit that three, crowd went nuts into a religious fervor, as they say in soccer, right? Unbelievable. There's nothing better than playoffs in the Garden. I don't think anything compares. When the Knicks are in the playoffs, I mean, the NBA is just better. I mean, come on. Let's just call it what it is.
Let's get to the East, because the East is, honestly, I don't have any picks that go seven games, but I think that a couple of these series are going to be really, really interesting. Let's start with Philly and Washington. I really thought Washington was going to come out and potentially steal this game, similar to what Memphis did, riding off that play-in high. This can't be what Russell Westbrook does, though. And honestly, Bradley Beal, I mean, I know he was 13 of 23, 6 of 6 from the line. 33, yeah, that looks great. 1 of 6 from 3. They shot 40% as a team. Tobias Harris isn't going to have 37 a night. Let's just say that now and get that out in the open. Your boy Ben Simmons, I'm sorry. When is he going to just accept that he needs to score at least, I think, 18, 19 a game? I get they won game one, but if Philly really, really wants to do this year, how many field goal attempts do you think Ben Simmons needs to take a game? I say at least 17, at least.
I say no more than 12.
No more than 12?
No more than 12.
All right. Okay. All right. Interesting. I just wanted to hear your take. I've got Philly in six. I was tempted to say seven just because I love Russell Westbrook and I love seeing him just pound his chest and put in, you know, 18, 20 assists and 16 rebounds. But you can't pick against Philly. I mean, I think it's just wrong. Philly in six.
Donnie, you said something about Russell Westbrook. Do you remember what you said right before you started getting into the game? You said Russell Westbrook can't do this.
Do what?
No, you said that. You said Russell Westbrook can't do this. You said he can't do this. He can't put up 16, 14, 5. It's not enough. He's got to do more, right?
That's I said about said. Bradley Beal, but then I looked at Westbrook, and yeah, 7 of 17. I think he needs to take at least 20 shots as well, but you were saying?
But do you know why he did that? You know why Westbrook played like that. You know why Westbrook couldn't get it going? He's got a 6'10" elite defender running around the court with him. It is hard. I love people who are on Twitter. Man, my favorite is the Twitter, like, defense apologists who, like, point out that Bradley Beal had 30-something points. Like, if you watch the game, Ben Simmons wasn't running around screens guarding Bradley Beal. Like, Thybul needs to get his game together. He needs to stop letting Beal get around every screen, back screens. It's easy. But I think you're right. I mean, that game was not great from Washington. It wasn't that great from Washington. It was pretty darn good from Philly. I mean, you're right. In my opinion, Ben Simmons, I'm happy with him getting 14 points, really. Because if you're putting up 15 and 15 outside of that, imagine if Ben Simmons' stat line was 14, 15, and 15. I mean, people would be like, what a game. I mean, an absolute unbelievable game. But because it's six, you know, they've got something to point out, giggle at, Ben Simmons only had 6 points. Yeah, okay. Well, tell me your favorite player. Does he get 15 and 15? And he's not Jokic. He's not 7 feet tall and playing center. I mean, it's pretty impressive what he does. You're absolutely right. Tobias Harris is not putting up 37 a game, but I think he can put up 20. I think Seth Curry can put up 18. I think Danny Green can get you 12, maybe 14 if he's playing well. Ben can get you another 10 on top of six. And Embiid's been giving you 30 all year. I mean, at the end of the day, like, this team has been good all year long. I, just like you, have Philly in five. I think Washington will get a game. But I really do think right now Philly's got to be the number one team to make it out of the East. I mean, like, you got to watch them and think defense is so important. I mean, we know what happens in the end of games, and they've got really good defense. I mean, in my opinion, Philly showed game one, okay, Washington's fine, but it's just not enough to just have those two guys, one of which has to get guarded by Ben Simmons. But I have fear down the line. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into this in a few weeks' time if they do play Brooklyn, but I've got fear there. Don't have fear against Washington. I think you're right. Philly in five, they're going to lose a game, but I think they're going to get through this about as easy as any team in the East is going to get through their first round. That's my prediction, is they get through the most simply, least amount of injuries, least amount of fatigue on the legs. Philly gets through in five.
Interesting. I like it. New York, Atlanta. Again, it was great to see basketball back in the Garden in the playoffs last night. Trae Young. Wow. I was just scrolling through Twitter and I love seeing the video of him quieting the crowd and saying, "It's quiet as expletive in here. It's quiet as F in here." And I'm like, wow, you've got some cojones, my friend, because the game he had last night was fantastic. You mentioned it. It's hard to beat a crowd, and the Hawks did that last night. I will say that I have Knicks in six, but listening to Charles Barkley talk through, and this is funny to even say, hearing, you know, Charles Barkley and then using his words, because usually it's just a joke, but I will say he made a really good point last night on NBA on TNT. He literally said, and it's so simple, and then I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, he's right. He's like, the Hawks have better players. They do. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, you look at it. Trae Young, Bogdanovich, Collins, Hunter, Capella, Gallinari, Lou Will, Kevin Huerter. And you look at the Knicks. Yeah, you love Julius Randle. You love Emmanuel Quickley, like you mentioned, D. Rose, R.J. Barrett. But who else are you going to give the ball to and really expect to get you 20 a night? Alec Burks had 27 out of nowhere off the bench. I don't know, Danny. I have Knicks in six, but this one I think I feel the most shaky on.
Man, it's funny you say that. I'm telling you, we're on the same wavelength. That was going to be my exact point of why I had before the season, and because of you. I mean, a lot of it was because of you. I just had to turn on the Hawks. Like, it's that simple, right? Like, the Hawks and the Knicks in the NBA over the last decade have not been a team you want to turn on and watch, right? I mean, I'm not being mean to say that. Hawks fans, yeah, maybe I have a little bit of a disdain for that Atlanta city over there, that sports city, because I'm a Charlotte guy. But all you got to do is turn them on. I mean, all you got to do is turn on their games, and they're just a better team than the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks, they've been having fun all year. They've been taking advantage of an incredibly weak Eastern Conference from four down. I mean, they took advantage of that and they snagged that four seed. Great. Good for them. But when the playoffs come around, you got to show up. The seed doesn't matter. Your record doesn't matter. You got to have a better team. You got to have a team who's got all the heart. And in my opinion, when I watched that game, I saw a team that has a dog of a leader. I mean, an absolute dog. Trae Young is, I mean, it's hard to even say the next Damian Lillard. Like, he's doing what Lillard does on a daily basis. Like, he's so nasty, man. He's got like elements of Steph with the handles and the floaters, elements of Lillard from, I mean, just impossible range. And then they're facing a team that is relying on the crowd to get them over. I mean, the Knicks played, I mean, I want to say this like nicely, like they played a really, really good game. I mean, I think everybody was hoping for Julius Randle to average like 35, 15, and 12 in the playoffs, like he was doing on a nightly basis in the regular season. That ain't going to happen. Like, we all enjoyed Julius Randle, but he's just not that guy. I mean, it was awesome watching it do it in the regular season. But I mean, if you expect that, I think you're going to be very upset when he really averages like 25, 8-5, like, and which is not bad. Like, we're acting like that's bad. He didn't have a terrible game, but Alex Burks and Derrick Rose off the bench combined for 44 points, and that's a bad game. Like, I had Atlanta in six before because of you. I'm struggling not to switch it to Atlanta in five. I mean, Atlanta, like you said, they've got a better team. I mean, look at the Knicks bench. You're expecting Burks and Derrick Rose to like lift your second line. That's fine. I mean, if you want to think that, you're still on Derrick Rose and you're still on the bandwagon, that's great. But I'm looking at the Hawks starting lineup, and then they've got Lou Williams on the bench. I mean, Lou Williams can give you more points than those guys consistently on the Knicks bench. I mean, Gallinari can still play. Those stats for Tony Snell, like, he's like the weirdest stat guy of all time, right? But he's playing, you know, whatever. I just think Atlanta's got way too much firepower for them. I really do. And that game was at the Garden. They've been waiting how many years for that game? Trae Young came in, put his little index finger over his lips and said, MSG, I'm ready for you. Trae Young is not going to fall down. This team, the Hawks team, reminds me of that Portland team who everybody thought was going to beat the Lakers last year. They remind me of that team. They've got a guy, a dog, who can put up points. They don't really have a McCollum. Like, that's the thing. Like, they don't have, like, that second guy. In my opinion, you know, when I look at them, Bogdanovich, you know, they just don't really have that. But Trae Young can do it. They're big, physical. Now, Atlanta in six. And like I said, I'm leaning towards Atlanta in five, but I'm not going to switch my pick. I got Atlanta in six.
Also, for people that love stats like me, Atlanta has nine guys averaging at least 10 or more, which is unreal. Moving forward into the series that I was sad it ended up happening like this, but I like it being that, you know, I'll say this too. I was actually talking with my girlfriend Emily one day, and we were talking about just working out and fitness in general, and how we were talking about, you know, the idea of running, and I'm going to relate it to this, and how she was saying, you know, she's like, you know, I didn't really play sports and anything in high school, so I don't really have that competitive thing like you might. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. If I told myself I'm going to run 3 miles today and I get to 2.5 and I want to quit, I kind of use that, you know, athlete motivation, like, you know, don't be a loser. Don't be lame. Someone's working harder than you. And in a way, that's how I feel with this Milwaukee-Miami series. I think about last year. I think about the embarrassment. I think about 4-1. I think about all the jokes, heat and five, this and that, heat culture. I want to vomit. And I think about, you know, who did Milwaukee want in round one? It looked like it was going to be Atlanta for a little bit. I was texting my buddy Matt. We were talking back and forth. He's a big Hawks fan. And then when we got Miami, my gut reaction, Danny, and I'm going to be honest with you, Bucks in five. Bucks in five. And that's my pick. Milwaukee literally has changed their entire makeup, whether people believe it or not. You've got a guy in Bobby Portis who's not being talked about for Sixth Man of the Year, but I saw a tweet that he even quoted last night. Some of his stats are unreal. He's leading our bench unit. Brent Forbes off the bench. You've got guys like Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who somehow has become a relevant role player. But the main guy that's really done this for the Bucks, I know I'm spending a lot of time, but it's worth it. It's Jrue Holiday. The upgrade of Eric Bledsoe to Jrue Holiday will single-handedly get the Bucks to the at least the Eastern Conference Finals. At the very minimum, I'm saying it now, Bucks in five. I want to hear your take, because I know that Miami did what they did last year. This is not the same team. It's also kind of a case of you can't just turn it on. And Jimmy Butler had some inconsistencies, but now he's back getting healthy. But that Chris Middleton game winner in game one, I just knew it was coming. I mean, you know, people always say, who's going to take the last shot? Who's going to take the last shot? It can't be Giannis. Okay, fine. That's cool. Give it to Chris Middleton. I mean, he literally has done this. I think this is his second or third either go-ahead or tying shot in a playoff setting. He did one in TD Garden a few years back against the Celtics that I know everyone remembers if you're a basketball fan. And this one last night, if the Bucks steal game two, I'm tempted to say Bucks in four, but I'm going to say Bucks in five.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is perfect for the legacy of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I really do, because that was going to be a massive blip on his legacy, that Miami in five loss. I mean, it was, right? You just saw him get relatively shut down. He got tired at the end of that series. Like, they won, I mean, Milwaukee won game four. Correct me if I'm wrong. They won game four, like, a lot of with Giannis not playing. Right? Like, it just looked so bad on Giannis. So, of course, Giannis is probably thinking, yeah, he did the Michael Jordan, right? He sat there in his chair. He said, I took it personal, right? And I'm coming back from Miami. And they got Miami. They got a weak, stumbling Miami team who has not been playing like themselves all year. But I don't think that's a matter of, like, injury. I don't think that's even a matter of anything but the fact that last year they came in and nobody was talking about them. Like, nobody was saying, oh, Miami's going to make it out of the East. Nobody was saying that. It wasn't even like a part of the conversation. So now people see them coming. And when I look down their stat line, I'm wondering how Milwaukee only won this game by 2 points. Like, that's the only thing I'm fearful about, because Tyler Hero 2 for 10, Adebayo 4 for 15, Jimmy Butler 4 for 22. Like, maybe that's the P.J. Tucker effect. Maybe that's when you got P.J. Tucker out in the three-point line, Giannis down by the rim. It's hard for Jimmy to muscle his way through. I think what you just said, it's not talked about enough. And we all celebrate Giannis as one of the best players in the game. But when you add Jrue Holiday, when you add Bobby Portis, when you add PJ Tucker, because Donnie, what did we talk about all last playoffs? I wasn't saying, yeah, of course I'll make a joke. Oh, Giannis in the playoffs, whatever. And I think his game does not translate to the playoffs as much as the regular season when the refs start, you know, keeping the whistle in their mouth and not blowing it as much. I think it works against him, but we used to talk about how weak that second lineup was. I mean, you remember how much we would joke about this second lineup is garbage. These guys are terrible. Why is Dante DiVincenzo the only guy giving anything? What's going on now? You've got these guys coming off the bench. I mean, Milwaukee looks scary. Like, they look scary. They're so thick. Like, you know me and you love to talk about the thick boys and the generals of the thick boy committee. I mean, the Bucks are so thick. Brooks thick, Giannis is thick. Even DiVincenzo's got like a sneaky little thickness for like a guard. PJ, I mean, PJ is like captain thick boy.
I can't Bobby believe Portis we're talking about this thick. Right now. This is hilarious. This is
it's
so good.
But it's right. They're bodying guys. Their second lineup last year was getting beat around the court. This second roster, this second unit is not getting beat around the court. They're going to give Giannis an opportunity to take more minutes off, which he took 3 minutes off? Donnie.
I told you.
Is the Milwaukee team I was waiting for. This is the Giannis. 45 minutes. Let's see if he can maintain. I mean, that is going to be a question.
Sure.
But this Milwaukee team, man, if they can maintain this, they are a nightmare for every team in the East, not the 76ers, but every other team in the East. They match up so badly for them. I'm with you. I want to see Milwaukee versus Philly. I want to see Brooklyn fall flat on their face. I really do. And I think Milwaukee, because they play in the second round, right?
They would. Right.
That would be what we're going to see. Milwaukee matches up terrible for Brooklyn. Nobody's talking about it. Brooklyn's going to score their way to the final. No, they're not. Milwaukee's not letting them do that. It's a perfect matchup. I think Philly versus Milwaukee is the heavyweight. I think Brooklyn's kind of a light heavyweight, middleweight, right? They play quicker. I want to see Philly versus Milwaukee. So maybe it's my heart saying it more than my head, but from the start, I said Milwaukee wins this in five. I'm exactly with you. Giannis, you know what he has in his headphones pregame? Summer 16 by Drake. He's looking for revenge. That's what he's looking for, and they're going to get it. Milwaukee in five, easy.
I like it. As a reminder as well, the Bucks won that game. I know it was a game winner by Chris Middleton in OT. They shot 5 of 31 from three. The Heat shot 40%, but they took 50. They made 20. So just to put that out there. Final series we have to get to real quickly, Brooklyn and Boston. I'm not even going to spend really any time. Brooklyn and four, even though, you know, they had 82 points combined from their big three and the rest of the team, of course, you do the math, 104 minus 82. It's only 22 points allotted to all those other guys. But in reality, it's just Jason Tatum right now. He's carrying this team. Jaylen Brown being out really hurts. I think it wouldn't have been, you know, anything different in terms of a Nets series victory. It may have been Nets in five, Nets maybe in six. In that case, though, Jaylen Brown does, I think, minus away those two wins that they could have gotten with him. Nets in four. There's really no debate.
Truthfully, before the series started, I had Nets in five because I'd like to give a lot of teams credit. I mean, it's hard for me to pick a sweep. If you remember listening to our podcast last year, I don't think I had one sweep in the whole play. I might have had one. I might have had Milwaukee sweeping Orlando. That might have been the only one I had a sweep. But outside of that, it's hard for me to pick a sweep, and it's hard for me in this one. But, I mean, Jason Tatum, like, I don't need 50 from you, but we need 30. I mean, if Jaylen Brown is not playing, like, we need Tatum to average 30 points. I mean, don't even go rebound. No rebounding, no passing. Just give me that mellow stat line. Give me, like, 34-1-1, that Kobe stat line. Like, I don't need any of this assist. I don't need you facilitating, none of that. Because Evan Fournier, 3-for-10, Kemba, 5-for-16, like, you're not getting any help. It's time to just take over. I suspect he'll take over one game, and I think either Fournier or Kemba is going to give you 20 plus in that game, and they're going to win one because Brooklyn's probably going to take the foot off. Probably going to be game four, to be honest. Maybe they'll end up just gagging that game away, coming back and finishing it at Barclays. But yeah, no, not much to talk about in this series. Talk about a limping in team. I mean, I tried to say Miami's limping in, Boston's limping in, and Brooklyn is out to prove a point. I mean, they're going to try and win this series. And you might be right. Four. They might come out and just try and scare every other team. Say, we're going to win every game. But, yeah, no. Brooklyn easy. Five games. No problem.
I do want to say, too, just to conclude, 8 years ago today, Paul George threw down his poster dunk on Birdman, Chris Anderson, in the playoffs when Indiana was relevant. That feels like another life ago. Danny, this is going to be a really exciting playoffs. I know I say that every year, but I just want to close by also saying, who would have thought that the 1 versus 8 matchups could potentially go 6 or 7 games realistically? Because I think they might. I know I already said Utah in 7, and I did say Philly in 6. So putting the money where my mouth is, hopefully this is going to be so competitive. And as each series goes on, like you said, it already feels like it's a second round matchup right now with all these games. You just keep minusing teams away. Finals right now, it's really hard to say, but I'm going to go ahead and this is tough to just say this out loud.
You're putting it out there already?
I'm going to. I think we have to. It's the start of the playoffs. We have to. It's going to be the exact same finals prediction that I had last year. Bucks Clippers. I don't see Utah. I don't see it. Phoenix, maybe. I'm dicey. I think it might be a Clippers Suns Western Conference Finals. I did say Lakers Suns at the beginning of the year, but that can't happen. So I'm going to say Clippers Bucks, and I'm going to say Bucks in 6. I'm going to stick to it, man. I'm a loyal fan, but I want to hear yours.
I love it. And you know what I love is that you have the ability to make that your pick while also validating last year's pick. Like, it's such a double whammy of like, you know what? I had this pick last year and it was very, very, very off, but it did give you the opportunity to do it again this year, double down. And if they win this year, it's even more invigorating as a fan, right? You're like, God, this is years in the making. I'm going to take a page out of your book, and you're keeping the same pick as last year. I'm keeping the same pick as I had early in this year. As Stephen A. says, you talk about having the courage of your conviction. What kind of commentator, analyst, fan would I be if at the first game I completely changed my idea of who's going to make it there? Until I see something else, I'm keeping these two teams in the finals. And I thought, truthfully, Donnie, it was going to be a 1 seed versus a 1 seed. I thought they were going to both dominate the regular season, come in, play in the finals. It's in fact going to be a 3 seed versus a 7 seed in the finals. And that's Milwaukee versus that other LA team, the real LA team, Milwaukee versus the Lakers. Because I said it, if the Lakers can get through this series, which I'm predicting them to do in 7, I think they're going to make the NBA finals. And Milwaukee, I was just saying, is a terrible matchup for Brooklyn. I'm skeptical on that one, but I believe Milwaukee has what it takes to win now that they made those moves that we talked about. I think that Milwaukee-Philly series, truthfully, is a 7-game series. I can't wait to see it. And I think LA versus LA, I'm not going away from that. I think that's a 7-game series. I think we're watching 7 games at Staples, and we're watching 7 games on the Eastern Conference. But that's my prediction. But I want to say something. I got to bring it up that my dad mentioned to me yesterday as we talked about the playoffs, and I want to get your quick take on this. My dad said, I'm not sure of anything. I'm not sure of any team getting through any matchup right now. He's like, right. I don't want to predict it. He goes, but I do predict something. I go, talk to me. He goes, the NBA champion is coming out of the East.
Oh, I like this.
He goes, the champion's coming out of the East. He goes, the top 3 teams in the East look better than every team in the West. That's what he said.
Wow.
He goes, they're coming out of the East. The champion finally is coming out of the East. I said, ooh. I said, because you know what? The thing is, the Toronto, like, they won, but it's like, I don't know about you, that year kind of feels like a weird blip in the matrix. Like, I didn't even really take that final serious. Maybe it's because I'm a Warriors fan. I just tried to, you know, repress it out of my mind. But that win almost felt like not even a win for the East. That was just a win for Canada. Like, I'm not even giving that to the East. They haven't really won since Cleveland. So, yeah, the championship, I think, is going to the East. And to be honest, it's hard to disagree with him, man. After watching those top 3, it's like those are the teams I've been most impressed with all year. Haven't been impressed with the Lakers all year. Haven't been impressed with the Clippers. Utah and Phoenix, I mean, we've been giggling at them all year. But at the end of the day, if they show up, they show up. But I've got full confidence in those 3 teams. I just feel bad for Milwaukee and Brooklyn. They got to play each other before they face those heavyweights in Philly. But we'll see, man. But I agree with them. I think the champ comes out of the East. Even though I predict the Lakers to win against Milwaukee, I'm not going against that. I don't really disagree with him. It's not that I agree, but I don't disagree.
Mr. Steve, he's going to hear this for sure. I agree. I mean, obviously my pick, But if it's not Milwaukee, I mean, you're right. It's obviously, if Milwaukee's in the Eastern Conference Finals, that eliminates Brooklyn. But truth be told, I could easily see Brooklyn knocking Milwaukee off in six games. I think that's feasible. And then in that case, you know, you factor in Philly, because Atlanta or New York, they're not going to get there. That's just what it is. But I like that. I like it. How about that? The Eastern Conference is back. They're relevant. I think top to bottom. Yeah, you're, Mr. Steve, you're right. They're probably better than all the Western Conference teams. But like we learned last year, Danny, I hate to close on this, but you know I'm going to, because I have to eat my words like breakfast. It's 8 a.m. I need to eat. The Lakers are never fully gone. And by the Lakers, I mean LeBron James. I'll say it. I'm not going to put a crown on anyone's head right now. It's too early to do that, both in the time of the day and in the playoffs. But that is going to do it. Episode 69 of Kicking It with Danny and Donnie is in the books. Watch some basketball. Put your feet up. Relax. It's the summertime. And it's always time to kick it with Danny and Donnie. Peace out.